Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The BT and Sal Show on the Fan, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. As for the Knicks, BT, a big win last night. Impressive win, blowing out Minnesota, an impressive second half. Really nice rebound after that slow first quarter for the Knicks. But more than just the result in the game, as they work their way through under Mike Brown now with the talent that they have and seeing what they could do, and Mitchell Robinson and OG Anunoby defensively, sure. I was thinking last night for the first time that maybe I was mistaken for being okay with the Karl Anthony Towns trade. In that, now I do remember saying that I wanted to see the Knicks run it back full health with Randall, OG, DiVincenzo, that group. We never got to see that for a full season because of different injuries. But I was also, once they made the trade, thinking just Cat is far superior to any of the other players. Give me the talent. And maybe in the end that proves out to be the winner. But I got to be honest, I think I believe more in the team that the Knicks had after they got Anunoby with Randall and your boy Devo than I do this group right now.
That's interesting. I don't see it that way at all. And I don't love Towns, you know that. And I don't think that, although last night was a really good step in the right direction. Knicks look, that was a fun game, and Knicks look really good. Like, if I'm to put myself back in the mindset of how I evaluated that team, and I love that. You know I love that team. I love that team.
Well, you didn't love Randall.
No, what I'm saying, but I love the grit, the DiVincenzo.
It's basically Cat. Would you rather have Cat?
I'd rather have Cat. I'd rather have Cat over Randall.
Randall and DiVincenzo.
Yeah, I mean, when you throw the DiVincenzo stuff in there, it complicates it a bit. But I'm going to still say Karl Anthony Towns. I think the Knicks window or ceiling is higher with Cat in the middle of this than I do Randall. And again, that's not to say Randall's not good. He is very good at what he does. I think that this team is still on a better trajectory to win with Cat than if they had Randall, and even if DiVincenzo was still here.
I would, at this point, I would take it back. I would keep Randall and DiVincenzo. I never got to see them max out. Now, people are going to point to the postseason shortcomings of Randall. I trust Randall more than I do Cat. The appeal of Cat was that, to me, he was a better three-point shooter than Julius Randall, even though Randall improved his three-point shot. I don't like the way Cat plays. I'm sorry. I like him on the perimeter. Even last night, again, in a game where he's good and he's been better and, you know, backing guys down and getting some tough buckets, he's out of control with the offensive fouls. It's a pattern. He's not getting any better. A Cat is not changing his stripes in this particular case. He's not changing. He is who he is. And it's good, and he's very talented. Mm-hmm. Is it good enough to win a championship? I don't believe that it is.
I don't think it is either, but I don't think Randall would have changed either enough to make the answer to that question a yes.
Right, but if you
a little
if
loose
you,
with the if, ball, if you know Cat, defense, yeah. Okay, but I mean, Randall's not perfect at all.
No. But the one thing about Randall was he was continuously improving his game since he got here. Now, in my version of this, I want Tibbs as the head coach. I would have liked to have seen a full season shot. Tibbs as the head coach, Randall, Devo, and then the moves that they made. Because I'm assuming you still could have Bridges in this mix. The only thing that I would be changing, because remember, there were a couple different things, but the only thing I would be changing is taking back the Cat trade, thinking that Cat and his talent would be the best piece to potentially get them over the hump. Now that I've seen Cat for a year, I don't hate him the way some others do. I ultimately just don't believe, I think he's too inconsistent in his play.
You know what's interesting about both of these players here is that when you watch them both for long durations, you realize that they're both flawed to the point where if they're the central figure or that second central figure, you're probably not going to win a championship with either.
Cat and Randall, you say?
Both of them.
I know, but why not keep the continuity with your guy Devo, who brings that toughness?
I mean, I wish DiVincenzo was still on the team. Well, just focus on the two main players for a moment. Yeah. Like, you watch Cat, and, you know, it's the ridiculous, the way he rolls to the rim, the elbows, and he's not a great athlete, and he does commit the stupid fouls, and he's very slow laterally up top, so you can really exploit him in space athletically. So we know what his flaws are, right? And again, when the Karl Anthony Towns, and admitting and obviously knowing that both of these players are very good, Towns and Randall, that goes without saying. Let me just, if you're new to the show, we know that they're both really good. The thing about Towns is that, you know, what I thought from Kentucky and then seeing him from a distance here and there with Minnesota, you know, I would, in my mind, I'm like, he's 40% from three. He's 80% from the stripe. His first couple of years, he played 82 games. He showed up and played every night. He's been a little bit nicked up recently, but he was a guy who played big minutes and played every night. So the appeal for Towns from a distance was a little stronger than it is for me now that I watch him every night. And the same with Randall, because I think it's easy. Think about an old girlfriend. Think about an old situation. Mm-hmm. Think about an old apartment, an old car, whatever it might be that you had an attachment to that you really cared about. But in real time, there was something wrong with it, which is why you moved on from it. And Randall's either his aversion to passing or monopolizing the ball, just banging it down, banging, bang. We all remember this. Or not a really good defender, bit of a chucker. Those were the deficiencies that I think would have derailed the Knicks from winning a championship with him. So, you know, it really comes down to, I guess, who's more compatible with Brunson.
Yeah.
And I still feel like it's Towns, but it's not a, that's not an easy answer.
Of the two, who do you think plays harder?
Randall.
Who do you think maximizes their God-given ability?
I would say,
or gets the most out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're thinking that I'm going to say Randall. But,
well, no, it is Randall.
Well, no, hold on. I don't know about that. Hold on. I mean, if Kat was sitting here averaging, well, let me take a step back. Your frame, the way you frame it, God-given ability.
Yeah. Well, Kat has more of it.
No, I don't think so. Julius Randle's a superior athlete. He's more explosive. He jumps. I'm just talking about athletic traits for a moment. And if you look at Karl Anthony Towns, he barely gets off the floor, and he's one of the slowest bigs in the NBA. So I could say, and I do feel this on some level, while he's a very imperfect player, and the last thing I want to do is defend him blindly, because I'm not even a huge Karl Anthony Towns believer, I think it's actually easier for me to look at Towns as maximizing his whatever talent God gave him, more so than Randall.
But if you just, I just asked you who plays harder, and you said Randall.
Yeah, but because Randall has to, well, I think.
Okay,
well,
right.
Well, hold on.
Right, because he's not as skilled as Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, but he plays harder. Well, he plays more demonstratively. So I'm going to think about this. Like, the guy, I like Randall more. Like,
that's a guy.
No, Randall's not soft at all.
Correct.
I understand that. Like, but you're also omitting many times, Sal, when Randall was driving us nuts as Knicks fans because he wasn't fighting through screens or he was.
I didn't say who.
I don't mean, like, if there's a fight in the alley, I want Randall.
Yeah, I didn't say
if somebody starts wolfing on the court, I want Randall. But in terms of always playing with purpose and playing hard, Randall took a lot of possessions off as a Knick. He just did, and he had a lot of holes in his game.
His second year, after the year where they're the four seed, that was there was a love-hate relationship going on. I remember the thumbs down thing, and Randall was not in favor with the fans. So I'm not saying that it was a perfect marriage all the way through. I'm saying that after now seeing Kat, whereas when the trade was made, I was all for the talent. I believe Kat is more talented than Julius Randle is. After watching Karl Anthony Towns play with this group, I would rather have taken a shot with Randall and DiVincenzo, and that is a part of the conversation because that was the trade. I would rather have seen that through with Tibbs, Randall, DiVincenzo, after the OG Anunoby trade where the Knicks were looking like the best team in the league for a period before those guys started to drop like flies, starting with Julius Randle himself. I would rather have seen that through than be frustrated by an immense talent with Karl Anthony Towns, but somebody that, to me, is just not, he's not it.
But it's different frustrations because this is where I think you're overlooking the frustration that Randall used to give us every night.
I get it, but
he used to drive me nuts.
But that was when he was the guy. We never saw it with Karl Anthony Towns. Right now, this is the most loaded Knicks team we've ever seen. Julius Randle didn't have that. Julius Randle brought the Knicks out of the abyss. Not until they had Jalen Brunson did he finally have a running mate, and even then, Randle was never able to be healthy.
You know, I get that. Listen,
they get the OG Anunoby trade, and they were playing like
they had a really good record. Yeah. I think it was 17-3. Yeah. It was very good. Listen, and I like Randle. He was a very good Nick. It's funny. I'm watching the game last night with Colt, and he sees Randle, and I think he was being introduced starting lineup, and he booed him. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you booing Randle for? And he's like, nah, he's not on the team anymore. I said, this guy was a dog, man.
Yeah.
I said, you got to respect it. He played his ass off for us, buddy. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he stopped booing him.
Right. So I think that's what it comes down to. I'd rather have that. At the time, I said, no, talent, because I wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Now that I've seen it even for a year, I want to go back to the way that it was.
I'm splitting hairs, though. Like, to me, from a personality trait perspective, give me Randle all day. Give me Julius Randle all day over Cat. But I think why I'm stopping short of getting where you are is because I truly, and I'll say I believe because I don't really know. I believe that I know, but you don't know until you actually see. We didn't get a chance to see it. I believe that the more basketball, the more high-pressure basketball that Julius Randle played against good teams.
The worse he got.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, against well-coached teams that were defensively principled, his sloppiness, which used to drive me nuts, and all the other good things that I love, that loose handle, that chuck with 13 seconds on the shot clock, holding the ball while the defense gets to catch their breath, that would have prevented the Knicks from winning a championship. I believe that. Now, I also
and clearly so did they, because that's why they made the move.
They moved on. Now, I also believe that ultimately Karl-Anthony Towns' shortcomings, which are different than Randle, will unfortunately also prevent the Knicks from winning a championship.
Right, which is why I'm at where I'm at, because I'd rather... Now, I always wanted to see it through with Randle, meaning I wasn't going to bury him the way that you did or some others, like, playoff Randle stinks, playoff Randle. I wanted to see him fully healthy with this group. Unfortunately, we never got to see it. But knowing that Cat has flaws as well, I'd rather go back to what you liked a couple years ago in that the team played their asses off every possession, every night.
Yep.
And at the time, I said that I just feel like there's a ceiling to that, and it wasn't a championship-level ceiling. But now after seeing it the other way...
You want to go back?
Well, because I don't believe that this is a champion. Talent-wise, yes, it could be. But I'd rather try to survive on the playing hard with enough talent.
Yeah.
Not max talent, but more than enough talent, and having them play hard together night in, night out, and maybe that winning through in the postseason as opposed to just relying on the skill that they have. Now, look, maybe they do win. I don't think it's going to be enough, which is why I'd rather go back to that toughness that they had.
Okay, now just a general take on last night. And the Randle Cat stuff is interesting. If you guys want to jump in on the Knicks stuff, we obviously did a lot of Pete Alonso stuff, Yankee offseason stuff. Guys could start signing today at 5 Eastern Baseball. They won't, not the big ones, but they could. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. So... you're starting to see the beginning, whether you believe in it all or partly, and I'm not all, but I'm much more than you when it comes to Mike Brown. You're beginning to see elements of Mike Brown's vision. Number one, the Knicks had a 40-point third quarter. The Knicks had a 43-point fourth quarter against a really good team. The Knicks, like Minnesota Timberwolves a year ago, one of the four final teams that were playing in the NBA, trying to get a championship. One of the four last standing, Brunson, OG, Cat, Bridges, all played in the 31 to 33 minute range, so that's a little bit of an adjustment. You're starting to see the bench take shape here. Hart's back, Deuce, Clarkson. Those are the three. That ninth, I like to see Iabaselli get his act together. He's been very disappointing, actually, and it hasn't really hurt them yet. But once he starts to play better, which I think he will, you'll have a 9-man rotation that's very interesting. Mitch last night played 16 minutes, had 9 offensive rebounds. Now, the Knicks are not perfect. Last night was the best Knick night of the season.
Yeah, I'm still not seeing it with Mike Brown, though. Like, it's very early on, obviously. I'm not seeing it with Brown. As a matter of fact, I think this team's best traits are defensive with OG Anunoby and Mitchell Robinson, a guy that Tibbs didn't have at all last year until the very end of the year. So I'm not seeing the Mike Brown impact yet in a positive way.
Well, again, they scored 40 points in back-to-back quarters against a good team. So I think you'll see, but you have to at least admit you've seen an adjustment from the minutes. Now, if that doesn't matter to you, that's fine.
It doesn't because down crunch time, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, I thought it was just kind of pushing things a little bit much. I don't need Brunson to be out there for 41 minutes in November or in January. You know, I think that there's a middle ground, and I think that Mike Brown is starting to hit that. That's why when I told you that, you know, the Brunson, OG, Hart, Cat, mm-hmm. and Bridges quartet, they you know, they averaged between 31 and 33, or they played between 31 and 33 minutes last night. So work in progress. I was a little confused watching the Knicks earlier this year. They weren't running a lot of sets. Josh Hart was banged up. Mitch wasn't playing. That's why I'm saying, again, last night to me was by far like the best Knick night of the season, because you got to see at least remnants of the plan, which I happen to believe in more than you do.
I think the minutes is overblown. McBride would have played a bunch of minutes.
He didn't play a ton last night, McBride. He's going to play more.
He played 21 minutes. He would have played under Tibbs. Shamet played 12 minutes. No big deal. He's a guy who's been actually effective for the Knicks this year. He was lesser on the bench, and he certainly would have been even less used under Tibbs because they have a better bench now with Clarkson, Yabusele, even though he's off to a slow start. You know, Josh Hart coming off the bench. I think the ability to have Mitchell Robinson start along with Karl Anthony Towns, something that we didn't have last year with Tibbs, has made a huge difference. But I don't believe that those minutes are a big impact here. With the Knicks, as far as what do you think Tibbs would have done with it? He didn't have this to work with, so I don't think that's the Mike Brown impact. You're starting to see signs of the offensive spacing at times maybe look a little bit different with Mike Brown. That hasn't been consistent enough for me yet.
They've shot more threes. Sometimes they shot too many. I mean, they had a game where they shot 51 or whatever it was.
Well, that's the thing. You hit the threes, you're going to look great. You miss them, you're going to look awful.
Yeah. The NBA, you know, even, you know, the Sixers are off. I don't have the standings in front of me. I don't know if you do. But, like, the Sixers are off to a good start. I'm not really buying them. You know, the Bucks look pretty good. I'm not fully buying them. I think the moment they hit the skids, they could still try to trade Giannis. And well, who knows? That could be in play
Bulls
with the Knicks here.
Bulls are 6-1.
The
Pistons
Bulls are off to
two.
I don't believe in the Bulls. The Magic are off to a slower start than I thought. Detroit looks pretty good. Pacers sting. Celtics, eh. Like, the Knicks will probably be where I thought they'd be. And that was, and I remember adjusting right before opening night. Like, I just thought because everybody was banged up, oh, Knicks are going to be a lock to win 60. I didn't think that before they tipped up on the opener. I thought it would be more than that, in that 55 range, which is where I think that they'll be. And, you know, you get to see it. I don't love the maintenance and keeping, you know, Mitchell Robinson in bubble wrap. You're a pro athlete. Go out there and play. And when he was getting maintenance days.
What if he's hurt their toast?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I don't love it because it goes against everything that you and I both believe with the old school virtues of the NBA. But seeing last night, having Cat at the four, having Mitch at the five, having the wings who could D and shoot, obviously less ass to Brunson. Listen, the Knicks are good. Nobody doesn't think that. Are they going to be great? I don't know. I mean, it probably comes down to the conversation for how we started. Cat. You know, what is Cat like when it really matters? And he worries me. He worries me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Gremlins 3 is coming out?
Oh, God, please.
What? I thought you'd like the Gremlins right up your alley with the 80s.
Yeah, no. Goonies, a little bit of a different story. Gremlins,
didn't do it for you?
I liked it in 1984 and what I saw in the theater, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's a bit of nostalgia there with it.
A little bit. I mean, is it a good soundtrack?
I have no
idea.
That
might pull me
Hoff, in. Did you see this Gremlins 3? Are you into the Gremlins?
He's not listening.
No, I'm listening. I'm just confused. Bad. Are you sure about this? There was rumors about it for a long time.
Warner's making Gremlins 3 with Steven Spielberg.
That's November 2027, yeah. Are they going to go on strike, though? Will they have a holdout? You think that they'll be pushed back?
I have no idea. I'm just going based off of the reports. I saw it pop up. It seems to be accurate. This is not AI, like my wife saying, oh, Rocky 17's coming out. Did you see that? I'm like, uh-oh.
It's just that's AI.
We go see if it was.
So Gremlins 3 is like Gremlins 2. I remember seeing
was
that
amazing.
With my grandmother. She had to walk out because it was so cold in the theater, and I stayed and watched it. But this is, my grandma died in whatever, I forget it in the year, but this is probably early 90s.
I don't remember Gremlins 2. I remember seeing, Hoff, when did Gremlins actually come out?
Was it 83? 88? I'm gonna guess. Hold on.
When that came out, before 88. Gizmo, that was a huge deal.
That was big. I liked Gremlins.
It was 84.
Wow, nailed it. All right,
Wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's why I saw it. Yeah.
Who directed it?
I was a little bit too old.
Was it not Chris Columbus?
So that was a screenplay, but who directed it?
I have no idea.
Me neither.
Gremlins 2 came out in 1990. Okay, so there you go, early 90s.
Yeah, I'd moved on since to the
I didn't love
Gremlin.
It. I remember seeing it, but I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm. What was it like? They got wet, they mass reproduced. Yeah. Is that what it was?
Something like that.
You couldn't get the gremlin wet, otherwise they multiply.
Yeah, man.
Gizmo, come on.
I'm excited about this.
I would 100% see Gremlins.
Who was the girl? Who was the lead girl?
It hasn't been out in 30.
Don't remember.
35
oh, come
years.
On.
Of Gremlins?
Wasn't it Phoebe
Katz?
Was it?
Phoebe Cates?
Phoebe Cates. Yeah, Phoebe Cates.
You give me a little Grease 3, I'm all in.
I have no idea. Grease 3?
You and the musicals. I'm very surprised by you by this.
What other musical have I referenced? I've
Grease every other day. And Grease 2.
Yeah, what else? That's it. So it's not overstated.
But you also referenced
you don't think it's cool to have a movie that last came out, okay, was huge in 1984.
Huge.
Comes out in 1990, obviously not as big, but still Gremlins 2 in 1990. Mm-hmm. They haven't made a movie since 1990. That's 35 years,
Is
right?
it a continuation of 2? I mean, that's the question. So was it like Rocky 2 to Rocky 3, or is it just...
I feel they'd have to have a tie-in. Like, you're not just going to make a random Gremlins movie and like try to remake it.
Like a remake,
it.
Yeah. You're probably right.
All right, screw you guys. I'm into it.
Gremlins. Oh, wait, what? You think I'm not?
Maybe we'll get the invite to the premiere.
Gotta have the right friends. Gotta have the right friends.
Yeah, let's know about it if we do. Hoff, do me a favor. If you get an email for that, can you let us know
about
that?
888-808-1019,
the number to call. Let's get back to the phones here, BT. Let's go to Phil in Spring Valley. He wants to talk about his Yankees. What's up, Phil?
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
What's
good.
Up, buddy?
Oh yeah. So like the problem with this off season is sort of like I think the Yankees realized it, you know, in the trade deadline last year where you started getting more role guys where you said, hey, look, we need to line up better, have our lineup more fit against lefties, have more versatile guys, have guys like Caballero who could steal bases. Mm-hmm. And the issue when I look at this off season is I say, you know, the guys that are really the big hitters out there are all home run guys really. Those are all guys that, you know, crush home runs. The average is not necessarily there. I mean, Alonso was good, but Alonso was not a guy who does the little things.
Yeah, true.
It wasn't, you know, Schwarber's not the guy who does the little things.
No.
And if you look at the team, you know, you always look at the World Series teams and you say, hey, what did they do to get there? And you look at the Blue Jays, the great at-bats and the great, you know, small things they did. You look at the Dodgers, they always have done the small things, the stealing bases. The amount of times Yankees don't do the small things is part of the reason that, you know, that fans are so frustrated. I feel like that has to be the focus.
Well, I think you accomplished that by finally getting a leadoff hitter. Think about this.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to have a couple of options. Like, when they got Rosario, when they brought in Caballero, these were moves that made the Yankees more diverse, more just better, really. But that's something that I want at the bottom of my order. I don't want to be mixing and matching at the top of the order, nor do I want somebody going up there like when Grisham really kind of grab the stranglehold of the leadoff spot, who's going to hit 160 against lefties, especially good lefties in the playoffs, which is what you're going to see. So they've got to reshape the way things. That's why Kwan is somebody that you've said.
Well, I'm
for
one
a while.
Of them. I'm one of them last year at the deadline. If he's available,
I think he will be.
Go get him.
Yeah,
I don't want to
okay
hear
with
it.
That.
Spencer Jones, Dominguez, whatever Cleveland wants. Obviously, not talking about Schlittler. He's untouchable.
Lombard, no.
No, we're talking about. I mean, look, if it were Lombard and I had to do it, I'd have to consider doing it.
For Kwan, I wouldn't do that.
They also
I'm not
need.
Doing that.
They also. Well, then, what are you going to do with Lombard?
Well, I'm going to hope that he's the player that I think he's going to be, and he'll be in the minors. He will probably start in double. He's got no chance to make the team this spring. He needs more time.
Well, then who's playing shortstop this year?
I don't know. Probably Caballero to start as Volpe gets healthy.
I mean, but that's...
You know, I'm just telling you what I think they're going to do. Do I think that's perfect?
Well, why not trade for Kwan? And maybe it doesn't take Lombard. I'm just saying trade for Kwan. Now you get him. I don't care what has to go the other way. Now you get Kwan. You have a leadoff hitter in left field. Bring back Bellinger. He is in center field.
I like the plan.
And you have him. And then go get a shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, just a guy just to kind of patch it together. You're not talking about like a Bichette type, are you?
No, I'm talking about a real shortstop.
Well, but who? I mean, give me a name. Who's out there? I don't know who's available.
Well, how about this? Not Volpe.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah,
I'm saying. I don't think right now the Yankees have a shortstop.
I think their plan is to be, I think they're going to go with Caballero to start. I mean, you know, if Volpe,
and then what? When Volpe gets healthy, go back to him?
They probably will.
That to me is a losing plan.
It's not the best plan. It's not the right. Year four. So I'm just telling you what I think they're going to do. Now, I don't think that they're going to even really seriously pursue Bichette. Like, I don't think that that's an option. I don't know any other shortstops. Not that you can't entice somebody to make a trade, but I don't know that there's a real abundance of options on the market.
Yeah, how about they get Bregman and move on from McMahon? You could have Bregman then shore up third base at the very least. I don't like the idea of Caballero being the everyday shortstop.
Dude, I don't like their infield. Think about their infield right now.
But that's what I'm saying.
Think about the whole infield.
Jazz, I don't like. They don't have a first baseman.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, there's a long way to go. That's why I do think, though, for starters, let's shore up the outfield. Go get Kwan, put him in left field, and now you left field, gold glove, and the leadoff. Two things at once. Bring back Bellinger, center field. You are set beyond belief in the outfield, and you're set at the top of the order with Kwan, Judge, Bellinger.
I like that.
Yeah, okay. Now
I like that. But then you can live with Volpe if he's catching the ball.
Correct.
If you've got a real leadoff hitter in Kwan, and Volpe's just down there, which he would be anyway,
I'm fine with that. You don't need offense. You want somebody who's going to catch the ball and play good defense. I just don't know if I'd run it back again, running the risk with Volpe. It's not the biggest issue.
You know they're going to. You know they're going
to. I hope not, man. I think they got to be smarter at some point.
They basically told us that at the press conference. They didn't make it seem... Did it sound like they were getting ready to move on from Volpe?
No.
There's no way.
But there's still... Maybe there's a better option. They could eventually move Volpe if they want to play him at second base and move on from Jet. There's a lot of work the Yankees have to do. I would move on from Stanton. I'm not so sure the Yankees are going to do all those things, but there are, much like the Mets, there are a lot of different things. Dante is calling from East Brunswick. What's up, Dante?
Hey, guys. Just revisiting that cat... Randall trade again. I'm one of those guys, you know, obviously it's one under the bridge, but I'm one of those guys that believes if they kept that 2024 group together, and you add Bridges to that group the way they were playing, I honestly think, you know, they probably win the whole thing, or at least definitely get to the finals. Actually, I don't know if you beat OKC.
You're not beating the Thunder.
Yeah, I don't think you don't beat them, you know, last year, mm-hmm. but maybe you just, you know, it's a gradual step. And I just think it's a simple 2-for-1. If you add Cat for Randall, okay, maybe, you know, that's one thing. But then to throw in DiVincenzo and a first-round pick, and you look at the time, Julius's contract, what he was making, like $30 million.
The cap
is like $62
million. Dante, let's forget the cap, forget the money, forget the pick.
Yeah.
The players. That's the fun part of the conversation. Would you right now trade Karl-Anthony Towns for Randall and DiVincenzo?
Without a doubt. Yeah, it's a simple 2-for-1 for me. The shooting, the effort, just everything. Obviously, Cat is talented, but to me, you take a little bit of a step off with Julius. He might not be as good, but if you throw in DiVincenzo on top of that, I think it just cancels it. You know, it's way more. And then throwing the Nova, whether it's a real thing, the Nova Knicks, that would have been just the continuity that group had and the toughness and everything. I kind of think you kind of like chink the armor a little bit.
I love the chemistry. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a really interesting way to process what the Knicks decided to do. They fired that big bullet, and that's it. Cat's making a lot more money than Randall. You see, to me, I'm not saying there's no teams like this. Like, Larry Brown's Pistons team, you know, they had Chauncey Billups, you know. They didn't have, like, a true, true all-time transcendent superstar like a Bird or a Jordan or a Magic or one of those guys. But it's very rare. I'm not saying there's none, but it's very rare when a team's second-best player is as flawed as Cat is and as flawed as Randall is, which is why at the end of the day, while it's a really interesting thing to dive into, I'm happy you brought it up, and to flush through it, I don't think it would have worked either way. Neither team's winning a championship if Randall's your 1A or Cat's your 1A.
Right, but you got to make a decision.
I know.
You got to pick one.
I know.
Would you rather have Karl-Anthony Towns?
I'd probably go with Cat based on the size and the shooting.
Right. So at the time, I thought talent. Right now, I'd rather have I'd take my chance with the max effort and having those two glue guys and that core and that chemistry. I do believe that team with Randall and DiVincenzo last year would have beaten the Pacers. Whereas with Karl-Anthony Towns, he's more talented. I get it. It's why I was in love with the trade to begin with. Talent, bring it in. Talent wins in the NBA. It does, but it's got to be the right fit and the right player. And there's just something off with Karl-Anthony Towns in the postseason.
The other problem with this, too, is think about this. Like, so if Mitchell Robinson was much more physically reliable, right? Well, now I still wouldn't do it. It wouldn't ultimately change my ultimate opinion, but it would seem... like more possible, like if Mitch was a 30-minute-a-game guy, 31, like a normal player,
yeah.
who could play 75 games a year and play 31, 32 minutes. Well, then, you know, Mitch at the five, Randall at the four. Now, that's more palatable for me. But think about this. If we're, because we're talking about an alternate universe going back to a world without Cat. Without Cat. So let's take Cat out of it, but now also take Mitch out of it because he doesn't play all the time. Randall's your center? Who's your center? Like, so,
no, but now it's getting too convoluted.
If no, but it wouldn't have been because Mitch...
Just say right now.
Yeah, but...
Forget about what happened.
You can't, though, because Mitch was already signed, so there's
no,
things...
No, but I'm saying right now. If you have Mitch...
I still prefer Cat. Right, acknowledging that it's not... Yeah, it's not probably not enough to win.
I think Cat is better off with Mitch as well. So you could say you like Julius at the four. That's fine. I like Cat better at the four. I don't like him as a center. I want him more on the perimeter. What I can't watch anymore is Karl-Anthony Towns lumbering to the rim, throwing his arms, and then hitting the deck and looking at the ref as if he's confused as to, oh, me elbowing this guy in the face is an offensive foul? Wow, I'm shocked. And I'm not even trying to pick on Cat. All I'm saying is we never saw it have the chance to be fulfilled for a full season with after the Anunoby trade, because really that was the turning point of the franchise. RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley, while popular, were not getting it done. When they made that trade for OG Anunoby, it changed everything, and the Knicks got to another level, and they were playing like that. And then Randall got hurt, and then everything else started to fall to crap, and they got banged up that year and fell short. And we never got to see that full team take their shot at it.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to see it, but I understood why when you had the opportunity to go get Cat, who I thought was far more talented than Julius Randle, and I didn't care about DiVincenzo at the time of throwing whatever, and I don't think the Knicks missed DiVincenzo as much now. They needed him a couple of years ago. Now they don't, but I still would rather have that chemistry and those guys who are both max effort players now than I would call on.
Well, and given their flaws, like if I'm going into a 7-game, I don't mean a first round, like a deep series, you know, conference finals, NBA finals, who am I worried about more, myself? Am I worried about Cat or hurting me, or am I worried about Randall? And I'd be more worried about Cat. I would be more worried about Cat hurting me. Meaning hurting me doing good things for the Knicks and hurting the team that I'm playing against. He could shoot. He's a better shooter.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll finish up on the phones. We come back, 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert.
I have a bone to pick with your guy, A-Rod.
How about an invite to the premiere of his new show on HBO?
I did get invited.
You did?
I did.
Well, now, okay, so you're out of this one. Now, I have a bone to pick with A-Rod.
Well, you're going to have a bone to pick with me because you got invited as well.
What?
You got invited as well.
You dropped the ball on this.
No,
one.
I didn't drop the ball on anything. Why did I drop the ball?
That's a ball dropper. That's a ball dropper.
You would know.
So, dude, you call us your buds. You have this premiere. You're in town. We're not getting any invites here.
No, we did get the invites.
Well, now it gets back to you. That's what I'm saying. You dropped the ball. We could have been there on the red carpet with A-Rod.
I'm looking at the text now. BT, Nick is going to invite you and Sal.
Yeah, that does me no good now.
Yeah, now I got a bone to pick with A-Rod. What the hell?
No, I mean, you'll get the next invite there. Nick's going to invite you and Sal to my HBO doc premiere this Monday in Midtown. And then Nick chimed in, his nephew.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, BT, I got you, brother. What's your email? Hook me up with Sal's as well. And I was sick.
That's a ball drop. Now, to make up for it, you've got to hit him up and try to get him in studio this week while he's in town. Or next week.
He's not available this week. I already went above and beyond.
Oh, so you...
Well, I mean, you make it seem like I did nothing. I got him on
the
show.
You did nothing. You fell asleep.
You did get him on the show.
I got him on the show initially. I mean, I'll see what I can do. I don't want to be up his ass,
We've got to continue to milk the
teat. Let's start brown nosing A-Rod. I mean, come on.
We're not brown nosing. He's got a show coming out. It fits perfectly. I can't believe we were invited to that. You didn't even let me know. I'm like, man, my guy A-Rod. Come on. He's our pals. We're buds. You can't invite us to the red carpet. I'm seeing Susan post pictures of it, and everybody else is out there. By the way, what type of bizarre world are we living in here? Did you hear who the morning show had on this morning?
Yeah, Rick.
Right.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino.
Okay.
So Boomer and Gio have Rick Pitino on. Mm-hmm. BT and Sal have Sidney Sweeney on. Something is amiss in the landscape of New York sports talk.
Funny. Well, but the good news is I know I can get Rick whenever I want. Can they get Sidney Sweeney? No. So I think that we'll wind, you know what I mean? You want Rick tomorrow? I'll get him on tomorrow.
I was driving in listening to that. I was like, man, this is just bizarre world. Hearing them talk Johnny's Hoops with Rick Pitino, and I'm thinking back to Sidney Sweeney last week. BT and Sal, the fields. Finish up all the phones. 888-808-1019. The number to call. Wilson is in Roxbury, New Jersey. What's up, Wilson?
Hey guys, BT, Sal, how are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, I got two comments and I've got a question for you. You know, last year when John Mara said, I know it doesn't look like it, but I think we're going in the right direction, nobody believed him. The only reason why he brought these two individuals back was because he just didn't want to make another change, man, which it was a horrendous reason why to do it, and we are again 2-7. See, so Giants fans, man, we're sick and tired of looking at this guy in the sideline and looking at Joe Shane in the press box. No, we're sick and tired of a press conference. Well, we got to be better. We got to do better. Not good enough. It's done with that. We're done. So I want to ask you something. This is the question I want to ask you. If they look dead again in the fourth quarter, right, against Chicago like they did last week, right, is there a chance because somebody in the building has half a brain and says, we can't do this anymore, is there a chance that they're not allowed in the building on Monday or we have to put up with this stuff for two more months?
I don't think they're going to fire. That would feel a little bit abrupt to me. I don't think Shane gets fired no matter what until the end of the year. I do think there's a window, like if they just hemorrhage out and maybe those final three or four games are like, hey, Kafka, take over the offense and we have to, just for optics sake, perceptual sake, we're going to move on from Dable. I think that's a possibility, but Shane's not getting fired this year no matter what.
I would fire them both now. Why wait? Now, if you're asking me what they will do, I'm nervous, and I said this the other day, we talked about a lot about the Giants so far this week. I'm nervous that they're going to retain Joe Shane. That, to me, would be a disaster. You can't let Joe Shane pick another head coach. I wouldn't let him pick another player, certainly not another head coach. And if I had to keep either Shane or Dable, I would prefer to keep Dable. That's how bad I think Shane's been. I think he's the bigger problem. I'd rather run the risk of Dable, a guy who was a head coach of the year, you know, the coach of the year in year one, a guy who's at least shown that he could turn the offense around with his rookie quarterback that he wanted. I'd rather invest in him if I had to pick one, but I don't want either around any longer than they have to be. I don't believe the Giants are going to do anything, though, in season. If anything, maybe they fire Dable with a couple weeks to go.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, this split ticket thing, we were talking about that on Monday, obviously playing on the election timeline here. I don't think that makes any sense to me. I don't think either one's distinguished themselves enough, like to the point where they're so much more valuable to the organization inwardly than the other, that it would be very justifiable that one stays and one goes. But that's not my team. If it was my team, they would have been back this year.
Mario calling from Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good show.
Thanks.
I just had a couple of comments on the Randall conversation. I enjoyed it very well. I thought you were going back and forth, and you had a lot of good points. I think one thing we're missing here is that Randall is not a center, right? He's a forward.
Yes.
So if you look at last year, he averaged 7.1 rebounds a game. Cat averaged 12.8.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference, you know? And the big difference here, and I think we forgot to say this, you might think a little bit differently, and tell me if you do when I tell you this, we lost Hartenstein. When you were talking about the team they had Hartenstein. That was a big loss. They were going to lose him anyway, and they couldn't afford not to have a center back because you can't go into the season with your only center being Mitch Robinson.
It's a good point.
Take about call list your response.
I think that's an outstanding point. You know, listen, you know how much I love Hartenstein. I may have even loved him more than DiVincenzo in terms of value as a player. I think the presence of Hartenstein, his ability to pass, his ability to defend a lot of different spots, I think it covered up for some deficiencies. A lot of guys on that team, actually. So without Hartenstein, yeah, I mean, he was... Now, that's not the Knicks' fault that they couldn't retain him. It was just based on the finance. The Knicks could only give him $16 million, I think it was. But I keep coming back to this. If Randall's here, even with DiVincenzo, not a championship team. And right now, I don't think they're a championship team with Cat. I think they could get to the finals. I just don't think they would beat the Thunder.
And maybe the unknown is more appealing to me. I know, or at least I believe that I know, that they're not a championship team with this trade or after they made this trade. I don't know what it would have looked like with a healthy Randall and a healthy Anunoby and DiVincenzo and Bridges. So forget Hartenstein. We're talking about Mitch being back healthy. And I've always been, I wanted Mitch more so than Hartenstein just because I know he brought something that they didn't have as far as being a rim protector and the rebounding skills. And you're seeing that when he's healthy, it's game changing. It's elite level where they should be able to piece together the scoring around him, not minimizing what Hartenstein did, just they needed what Mitch brings. The problem is he's going to be healthy enough. Let's just assume health. Let's assume that it's just a straight up Towns for Randall and DiVincenzo. I don't believe in this iteration of the Knicks. I would rather have Tibbs, Randall, and DiVincenzo than I would Mike Brown and Karl Anthony Towns right now.
I don't love either option. Yeah, well, I would disagree, but I don't love either option.
Keith is in Ridgewood. What's up, Keith?
Nope.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Keith?
Hey, listen, I hope Brick is listening and he's got off of school today. But first and foremost, Quinnen and Sauce, great Jets. Wish them well going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But this last half of the season is huge for this franchise. We got to get through no injuries to our young guys, Brees, Garrett, Olu, Membu. And the biggest part is we absolutely need to lose to the Browns, Saints, and twice to the
No, I don't look at it that way at all. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a common theme throughout the next couple of months. Thank you for the call there, Keith. No way. I think it's important for the Knicks, for the Jets to crank out some wins starting this Sunday, hopefully against the Browns, where, you know, it just reinforces the messaging. I think the last thing you want is, all right, hey, we just got rid of two talented players, and now we start losing 40-10. And even with all these draft picks that they have for 2026 and 2027, you know, you still need some tangible results here. And you need the messaging that Aaron's been imparting on this team behind closed doors and, you know, publicly, because let's face it, the media is a liaison for him to his team. It's a megaphone to his team. You got to get some wins here the last couple of months of the season. You can't go 2-15.
I always believe, now you and I have had disagreements about this, I always believe winning does more good than losing. I'm not about tanking or worrying about the draft pick. I'll worry about that after the season.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.